thanks for joining us today. This is Brian Singer. I'm a solution marketing manager for security at Novell. And today I have with me Ben Goodman, who's the principal security strategist. Ben, how are you doing today?
I'm doing outstanding, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. So, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about what's been in the headlines, the massive security breach of Google and a bunch of other companies. So, Ben, could you give us a little bit of background into what exactly went on?
Sure. So this attack first came to light when Google, on their blog, talked about this attack. And what they assert happened was that they were attacked specifically targeting the Gmail accounts of human rights activists from China. They then used what we're calling their security Delta Force to follow the attack back and found that the attack emanated from mainland China. It was sophisticated enough that it was actually tunneled through Taiwan to try to make it look like it was coming from Taiwan. However, they were able to find that it did in fact come from mainland China. And upon further investigation, they found that it wasn't just Gmail accounts that were being targeted, but it was specific intellectual property of both Google as well as 34 other companies, most of which were cloud-type service providers.
So it's really interesting. You mentioned that Google had something of a security Delta Force. It went on the offensive. Most companies, I don't think I'm going too far out on a limb here, don't have that sort of sophistication, can't afford to employ sophisticated white hat hackers. They can go on the offensive in that situation. How should most companies be thinking about responding to threats like this?
You make an interesting point. One of the things that Google is really one of the largest cloud-type service providers. They have a certain responsibility to secure the data that is given to them and entrusted to them. So that's one of the reasons that they have to maintain a security force like this, if you will. And the average enterprise can't afford and to a certain extent lacks the sophistication to do such a thing. And I'll take it even one step further to say that most cloud providers, whether they be software as a service or infrastructure as a service providers, lack the infrastructure and the sophistication to have that as well. So it's not a realistic thing for the average enterprise to expect that they themselves would have this type of capability in-house. And it's also not realistic to think that even your average software as a service or infrastructure as a service provider is going to have this capability. So they really need to take other methods for securing themselves.
Absolutely. Some of the buzz in the industry has been that this attack has really changed the game when it comes to security. Why is this attack different from all the other attacks that we see every day? And what should companies be thinking about going forward to prepare themselves to face an increasing amount of sophisticated targeted attacks like this?
I think some of the irony is that there's not that much new in this attack to a certain extent. I think the fact that it's been so highly publicized, the fact that the target was Google and that Google brought up the human rights issues and the issues that they have directly with the Chinese government, I think the fact that we're looking at potentially a state-sponsored attack, all those make this very interesting from a headlines perspective. But from a technology perspective, those of us that follow security know that these risks have been out there. The vulnerabilities that existed inside IE, which were leveraged in this case, the widening use of malware and SQL injection, these attacks are out there, and it's time for organizations to wake up to them and recognize that they need to institute the proper methodology in order to protect themselves from these level of attacks. So from us in the security industry, it's not great that Google got attacked, but it's great that we see a certain level of interest now that hopefully gets people motivated to protect themselves.
Yeah, so there is interest. And why do organizations care now?
Well, as we talked about, one of the targets of this was intellectual property. And we, especially in the United States, have a knowledge-based economy. And when people attack the intellectual property of an organization, they're attacking the DNA of the organization themselves and their ability to compete to be who they are. So the potential theft of intellectual property is extremely damaging to a business. And you don't just look at the cost of the security breach, but you look at effectively taking away a company's ability to be profitable and be the company they are.
Yeah, it's definitely an important consideration. Obviously, organizations want to protect their intellectual property or any valuable information that they have. So what steps can they take today to be proactive guarding against these new threats?
What we see here is a fundamental shift in the approach organizations need to take to security. So traditionally, network security, to a certain extent, was almost synonymous with firewalls. And firewalls were a primary methodology used to secure the outer shell of the organization.
I've heard some analysts talk about a Skittle, hard on the outside, soft on the inside. So keep the bad guys out, keep the good guys in.
Yeah, and so realistically, that's never going to go away, right? You need to have firewalls. My dad used to always say that locks were put in place not to keep criminals out, but to keep honest people honest. I think firewalls are along those lines. They keep the unsophisticated user out of where they don't belong. But the reality is, just like a lock will not deter a true criminal, a firewall is not going to deter a true hacker. So now we need to take more sophisticated ways of approaching this. And the most obvious one is layering your security, looking at layering behind your firewall intrusion detection and intrusion prevention technologies, looking at things like vulnerability scans, which actively look for vulnerabilities on your network, making sure that you leverage patching technologies to ensure that patches, our systems are up to date from a patch perspective. And of course, we're seeing the evolving area of data loss and enterprise information protection. Those technologies are all key and allow you to bring layer after layer after layer together to give you an infrastructure on which to build your security protection.
Right, but we have to assume, at least probably in this case, that a lot of the organizations that were breached had all these technologies in place. So the question then is, where do we go from there?
Well, you bring up an interesting point. Many of these organizations do have these technologies in place, but the issue at hand is really being able to look at it holistically. So one of the things that we see is that sometimes things like logging, as an example, people get a false sense of security that they feel that because they're logging a particular application or service, that that service is now secure because any hack or any attack will show up in the log. But what was recently said by Verizon Business, both in their data breach investigation report as well as in other interviews they've done, they see anywhere from 75 to 85% of customers that have been attacked. When they go and look, they see that the evidence of the attack exists in logs. So people are logging the data. The log is giving them some false sense of security, but they're not processing the data in a real-time manner. Not only that, when people look at logs of just a single application or just a single service, they're only getting a piece of the puzzle. They're not getting the entire picture. And as a result, they don't see what's really going on. So an example may be that a user trying to log in and failing to Active Directory is somewhat interesting. And if I look at it just as a Active Directory thing, I may not think anything much of it. But when I see that same user trying to log into RACF, trying to log into ACF2, and trying to log into the firewall, and trying to log into system after system from the same IP address, well, you know what? That's something much more interesting. And if I don't process my logs holistically and look at the overall enterprise effect of a user's activity, I'm really missing the point.
So it sounds like you're talking about something that I've heard called user activity monitoring. Is that the piece that can tie together all these technologies and lead us to a point where we can start detecting attacks like this?
I think you're exactly right. So user activity monitoring, which is really an evolution of multiple technologies coming together, really leveraging the identity information that exists now in many identity management systems, as well as security information and event data that exists inside of typical SIEM, SEM, and log management products, taking that data and now processing it in a much more holistic manner. Now what I'm able to do is actually see user intent. And when I see user intent, I can see if that user intends harm or not. Now the interesting thing here is that it may not be the user themselves. One of the things that we're seeing is a tremendous increase in the use of malware and SQL injection. Well, when we see those things, often people's user accounts are being compromised by these systems. And so now when we see out-of-band type actions from an end user, I can recognize that as potential infection by malware because I can see what the actual user intent is, and I can see it's not good.
Right, so it's going a step beyond just authentication and starting to determine user intent. From what I can tell, it sounds to me like that's eventually where we're going to have to go to detect these sorts of attacks. We're probably not there yet just because it takes a lot of sophistication to deploy all the technology involved. But do you have one parting piece of advice for organizations that are interested in learning more?
I go back to my original point of layering, layering, layering. So making sure you're layering the security to leverage all these different technologies. And every additional technology you put in is going to make you that much more secure once you're closing and barring every window. But the problem is every door and window that you lock, there's potentially another one which is left unlocked. So my recommendation is to look at technologies that start to evaluate what's going on inside the house in case someone has made it through a window. And I think a good starting place is to look at a technology like log management, which is relatively inexpensive to deploy. Your time to market and time to value is fairly low, so you can see your return on that investment very quickly from a security perspective. And it's a great building block on which to begin to build things like security information event management and eventually actually be able to determine user intent by leveraging technology like that.
Fantastic. Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, you can actually reach Ben at ben@nivelle.com. You can also follow his Twitter account, which is ben@nivelle, BenAtNovell. You can also follow our security Twitter feed, which is Nivelle Sentinel. So thanks again for listening, and good luck with your security.